Good morning. It's Friday, April 5th. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On the show, the end of a remarkable NCAA women's tournament, the do's and don'ts for the solar eclipse, and the number to aim for to be comfortable in your retirement. But first, let's take a look at a few other stories in the news. Israel is opening three humanitarian aid corridors into Gaza. The announcement came just after yesterday's call between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden called on Israel to do more to allow aid to reach Palestinian civilians. 6 months into Israel's war with Hamas, more than 33,000 Palestinians have been killed. The White House said Biden also told Netanyahu that the recent strike killing World Central kitchen workers was unacceptable. In new details from Israel's investigation, it says its troops violated military rules. Two officers have now been dismissed. In that same call with Netanyahu, Biden said that Israel must do more to protect civilians. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby explained what else the president said.
He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. He underscored that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and to protect innocent civilians.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Israel's new moves to expand the flow of aid into Gaza are positive, but may fall short of what the Biden administration wants to see. Staying with Israel, its military is now on high alert for an attack by Iran. Commanders expect retaliation for the recent Israeli bombing of a diplomatic building in Syria, which killed senior Iranian commanders. GPS signals are being scrambled inside Israel to make it harder for Iranian weapons to lock onto potential targets. And former President Trump lost two attempts to throw out cases against him. In Florida, the federal judge in Trump's classified documents case ruled that the Presidential Records Act did not provide grounds for dismissal. In Georgia, a judge rejected Trump's argument that efforts to overturn the 2020 election were protected by the First Amendment. Trump has pleaded not guilty in both cases. Tonight is the final four of the women's NCAA tournament. Iowa faces off against UConn and South Carolina against NC State. This is a tournament that's getting a lot of attention. The game with Caitlin Clark in Iowa versus Angel Reese in LSU got record-breaking ratings, more viewers than the World Series and NBA Finals averaged. I spoke with Apple News sports editor Haley O'Shaughnessy about this powerful moment for women's basketball.
There's been a huge focus on how enormous the viewership numbers have been. And it is something to celebrate. But the best part of this March Madness isn't the national epiphany that women's basketball is fun, although it's really, really nice to see them finally get their flowers. The competition has been so amazing, so strong. Seeing things like Haley Van Lith throw her arms up when Caitlin Clark hit yet another three in her face, or Juju Watkins leading USC as only a freshman. The matchups, the upsets, the head-to-heads. I'm glad that this is what they're tuning into, because I also hope that people feel this pang of regret that they hadn't been tuning in sooner.
And on that note of regret, there are still a lot of concerns about inequality, funding, marketing support, and this year, whether the court is even set up right. What does that tell you about the work that's still left to be done by the NCAA to make sure the women's tournament gets its due?
You have to respect it by putting money into it, putting money, love, attention, care, and also the knowledge that people do want to see this product. The women's game has not been properly invested into by the NCAA. You hear about stories from past years, which include not being able to use the same quality of weight room equipment and not being allowed to use the March Madness logo. And when I hear those stories, if I told them to somebody on the street, they'd probably think, oh yeah, but that was 10, 15 years ago. It wasn't. It wasn't until the players made a fuss in recent years that these things have changed. And even this year in the Portland Regional, the three-point lines were different. And we saw like 10 minutes before the games, they had officials and coaches out there measuring. And the coaches had to make a decision in that moment. Okay, I guess we need to just play in this. I don't want to be the one to say that we can't play. And that is certainly not fair. And the carelessness that comes from not ensuring that the three-point line is the standard size for the women's game. I mean, that's just really a slap in the face to something that's been a really wonderful product for years. And if you want to create a good experience for the fans who are tuning in, and if you want to truly respect what these women have put into their game, then you need to invest the money to make sure that you're giving it the same love and attention that the men's game receives.
So Haley, as we head into the Final Four, what are you most excited to watch?
Well, the game I'm most excited to see is probably one that you could already guess, which is Iowa-UConn. Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. There is nothing I would rather be doing on a Friday night, and I know that I'm not alone in that. I am not sure if there are records out there still to break, but if there are, I think Caitlin Clark will do it. And I also love what UConn's coach, Gino Auriemma, said about Caitlin Clark. Previously, he had told reporters that his player, Paige Beckers, was the best in the country. And after seeing what Caitlin Clark did to LSU, he told reporters, you know what? Never mind. Pretend I didn't say that, because he did not want Caitlin Clark to drop 50 on them.
The women's Final Four is tonight. Tomorrow, the men play with UConn versus Alabama and Purdue against NC State. We have full coverage in the Apple News app. On Monday, people along a path stretching from Mexico to Maine can see a total solar eclipse. It's a rare spectacle when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, blocking out sunlight. We won't have another total solar eclipse until 2044. So this is your chance. Erica Hamden, an astrophysicist at the University of Arizona, did a video for BBC explaining what to expect.
It gets really dark. All the animals get really quiet because they think that the sun is setting. It looks like a sunset in all directions on the horizon. You can see the stars close to the sun, and you'll be able to see the sun's corona, which is basically its outer atmosphere. And it looks like these like beautiful petals that come off. And it's just a really otherworldly kind of phenomenon.
In that moment, you may feel the temperature drop. Streetlights might flicker. In places along the path, there will be total darkness for about 4 minutes. It might be worth a special trip. NPR spoke with young people who saw the last solar eclipse. It's an experience that really stuck with them years later. Here's George Brewa from Wisconsin.
It just kind of brought the perspective of like, there's more out there than you see every day, every year. It just kind of broadened the horizons and perspectives on literally everything.
Of course, don't look directly at the sun. It'll ruin your eyes, and we know this. It's still true during the eclipse. To view safely, you need special glasses. They're not hard to find. The Washington Post has a guide you can see on the Apple News app, along with a list of prime viewing locations. Finally, how much money do you think you'll need in retirement? It's a difficult question for most of us. Answering it requires a little imagination of how we might want to live in retirement and a lot of math on what it'll cost. A new survey shows people think they'll need an average of $1.46 million. Northwestern Mutual asks people about this. That number is up about 200 grand from a year ago. The Wall Street Journal says that jump may be more about retirement anxiety than retirement planning. People often don't know what they'll need, so they overestimate. Senior columnist Carrie Hannon was on Yahoo Finance talking about how younger people's concerns are driving this.
One reason that number is sort of the highest it's ever been, according to this study, is that younger generations are throwing up even a bigger number than that 1.5 million that they're going to need to retire. And the reason why they're doing that is because they expect to live to at least 100.
That survey also shows a big gap between how much people think they'll need and how much they actually have saved.
The one big concern that I saw coming out of this is a third of Americans have done nothing to change the course of this. They've done nothing to change the fact they realize that they're behind in their savings, but they've done nothing like as simple as doing a financial plan, running a retirement calculator. We know Fidelity, Vanguard, AARP, they all have free ones. Just get the thinking started, working with a financial advisor. So that is something people can do to start taking control.
You can get more personal finance coverage on the Apple News app, along with all the stories we talked about. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next from The New Yorker. The reporter travels to the Brazilian Amazon to follow a special forces team with a mission to protect the environment. They're taking up arms to take down illegal mining operations. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And we'll be back with the news on Monday.